What are some ways that you like to show someone that you love them? You can offer up your suggestions. I might even grab a pen and paper and take notes if I need to, if you come up with a really good one. What are some ways we show love, show someone that we love them? We what? Oh, wait, we can give them a Bible. Tell them that you love them. Actually say, I love you. How else? Lydia. Give them a hug, right? Be a way to show that you love them. Okay, obeying them. Way that children could show their love for their parents. Pardon? Give them a kiss, okay? Do something for them, right? I'm going to show that my love by doing something that I know that they will appreciate, right? Or that demonstrates my love for them. You might sacrifice for them. You might marry them. Pray with them. Pray for them. Discipline them. As parents, that's certainly a way that you express love, right? I'm going to discipline them so that they don't go down a wrong path. Help them. As you think about it, there are a multitude of ways that you and I express love for someone. Whether it be simply by telling them or expressing our love to them through words, we express our love to them with the attitudes and the pictures we have in our minds of them, which affects how we treat them. And our love is oftentimes expressed in actions, right? Things we do for them, things we sacrifice in order to express this feeling we have for another person. Our gospel lesson, our words Jesus spoke to his disciples on Maundy Thursday evening. On that Maundy Thursday evening, the disciples exhibited their love for their Savior. Remember, as they're sitting in that upper room, Jesus begins to tell them, says, you know, in a matter of hours, you're all going to flee, desert me. And Peter, you're going to betray me, deny even knowing, Peter, you're going to deny knowing me, right? And what was the response of the disciples? No way, Lord. The feelings the disciples had in their heart for Jesus, their love for him, led them to say, Lord, we will never leave you. Lord, we are ready to die for you. And then, just a few hours later, you and I are very well aware of how that love on behalf of the disciples fell short, at least on that Maundy Thursday evening, right? This morning, as we look at those words from Jesus, we might want to ask ourselves the question, well, how do you and I show love for God? Probably in some of the same ways that we show our love for other people, right? We can tell God in our words, Lord, I love you. I love what you've done for me. It's expressed in our thoughts. It's even shown in our actions. Jesus tells us precisely how we show our love for God in the very first words that are before you in John chapter 14. He says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. A little bit later in life, the Apostle John wrote a letter. And in the letter he said, this is love for God, to obey his commands. The way you and I are able to show our love, our gratitude, our thankfulness, those strong feelings we have in our heart for our God and what he's done for us, Jesus says, is by obeying his commands. Next question that pops in, at least in my mind, what are God's commands? If I'm going to show and express my love for God, and he says this is the way you do it, by obeying my commands, it would be helpful to know, well, what does God command? And we could probably start at the Ten Commandments. It's even got the word in it, right? And I'm fairly certain most of us, if not all of us, could say, I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't robbed the local convenience store. I can start making check marks off of that list of Ten Commandments. And I've done fairly well at least that you shall not, at least as far as the letter of the law, right? Then we might call to mind Jesus' words from the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus made it clear that obeying the Ten Commandments isn't just a matter of obeying the letter of the law, you shall not murder, or honor your father and mother, but it also applies not just to our actions, but to our thoughts, and our words, and our attitudes. And we begin to see, perhaps we haven't kept the Ten Commandments as well as perhaps we first thought we did. Then in the Gospels we hear Jesus also summarize the Ten Commandments. You remember how he did it? How Jesus summarized the law, the commands he gives to us? It wasn't a negative, you shall not do these things. Instead it was love. Love God, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, and love your neighbor. Which gives us a little bit more insight to what God commands. That as we look at the Ten Commandments and we see all the don't do this, right? Jesus also summarizes the commandments by saying, do this. Love. If we weren't convicted already, by the times we've fallen short in expressing our love for God by obeying His commandments, by doing things God has told us not to do, God's law certainly crushes us when we get to those sections where we haven't done the things God tells us to do. Love God with all our heart, soul, body, mind, strength. Love our neighbor, our spouse, our children, our co-workers. My guess is love probably isn't the word that we would always use to describe the status of our relationship with everyone else. And that lack of love then shows itself with a lack of patience. At times, perhaps a lack of kindness in our words and our attitudes, or perhaps in just how we treat that person. That lack of love begins to show itself just in our own thoughts, in our own minds, as we think things, well, when this person comes up, we'll give them the mental eye roll, right? All of that demonstrates a lack of love. Which means, if you go back to those words from John, those words of Jesus recorded in John, right? Those first words, if you love me, you will obey what I command. If obeying God shows our love for Him, all those times we disobey, all those times we stumble and falter and fail to obey God's commands, we would have to say, is unloving. For sin is breaking God's commands, isn't it? When God tells us to do something or not to do something, and we disobey and we break His commands, that's sin. Sin is breaking God's commands. and disobeying God, breaking His commands. Sin is unloving. Shows a lack of love for God and what He's told us. Sin, a lack of love for God, spells death and doom for us. It separates us from God and His love. And so when you and I look at our life and that law crushes us and reveals to us our lack or our inability to obey God's commands, our inability to show a love for God, it's then at our very worst that God comes to us and shows His love. The Apostle Paul in his letter to the Ephesians put it this way, while we were still sinners, when we were at our very worst, disobeying God, showing a complete lack of love and respect and honor for Him, God sent His Son. Or the Apostle John puts it well in his letter, his first letter. He says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. Or just a little bit later, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We didn't love God. We couldn't love God because of our sinful nature. So God in His love sent someone to love us perfectly and sent someone to love perfectly for us. He sent His Son. And that love, that Son came and showed us His love by living perfectly for us. You look at how He interacted with the people that came and talked to Him, and it was loving. Even His enemies, those who hated Him, who wanted to put Him to death, Jesus still treated them with love. Those people that Jesus, you could imagine, I would have a hard time getting along with, people that don't like me, still to treat them with love? Did it perfectly for us, because you and I often don't treat people with love. And then in that great love for us, paid the payment that God demanded for our lack of love. He shed His blood and showed us His love by dying to pay for our lack of love. That's love, isn't it? Being willing to sacrifice yourself for your friends, it's what Jesus did for us. He showed His love in His actions by laying down His life for you and for me, by taking the punishment and the anger God had in store for sinners and taking it in our place, not only with His words, but with His actions, God showed His love. Love for sinners like you and me. When you see the love God has for us, all that Jesus did in order to save us from our sin, what feeling do you begin to have in your heart? Love, isn't it? When someone shows a faithful love for you, a love in spite of who you are, you can't help but begin to feel not only gratitude and thankfulness, but love. In fact, John, in his first letter, just a little bit later, says, we love because He first loved us. God's love for us motivates and empowers a love on our part back to Him. Jesus knew this. It's why in John's Gospel when He says, if you obey my commands, or if you love me, you will obey my commands. If you just look at that verse, you'd say Jesus is asking something of His disciples that is impossible for them. Then you look at the rest of what Jesus said. What does He promise to them? He promises He's going to send someone, right? He promises that He's going to send to them the Holy Spirit. And not just the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, but He's going to send the Holy Spirit to all of His disciples. We see it on Pentecost as the Holy Spirit comes and He gives the disciples this amazing ability to hear and speak in other languages so they can clearly communicate this great news of God's love, right? But in his sermon, Peter also points out that the gift of the Holy Spirit is something God gives to more than just the disciples. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Jesus promises to send the Holy Spirit. It's this Holy Spirit that comes and reveals to us through God's Word our sin. That Holy Spirit comes and then opens our eyes through Word and Sacrament to God's love. What our Savior has done for us. And Peter promises, both in our second lesson today and in that sermon, that when the Holy Spirit comes to us through the water and Word at baptism, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The best gift the Holy Spirit can give? Faith in Jesus. Eyes that see who Jesus is and what He's done for us. Peter points out to us that in our baptism, God saves us. He gives us a clear conscience before God. It saves us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The Holy Spirit comes and makes His home in our heart. With the Holy Spirit living with us, with the Holy Spirit living in us, He feeds that love we have for God. He empowers us now to live a life that shows love for God, a life that puts God first, that knows what God's commands are, not only the you shall not, but also the love God, love neighbor. The Holy Spirit empowers us to live a life that demonstrates and shows that love for those around us with how we speak, the tone, the body language we use. Love that shows itself in action. It's really what brings us joy over Easter, isn't it? Because at Easter, we see that our Redeemer lives. At Easter, we hear that glorious news, Christ is risen. Okay, good. Get me nervous every single time. That good news that our Redeemer lives frees us from sin. That glorious news that Christ is risen, that our Redeemer lives, now enables us to love God and to live a life of following Him. Christ is risen. Alleluia. Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond our understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.